Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Today on The Grave Talks, what happened in this cursed school? A conversation with Buddy Thayer. The field of the paranormal is full of conjecture. We're all searching for answers, but we tend to end up with far more questions. When one has an experience, it often leads to a greater passion for seeking that information. That's how it all started for Buddy Thayer. After having a life-changing experience at his workplace with the spirit of a former resident, he knew it was the start of a journey into the other side.
Well, the interest was kind of there at a younger age. I would watch shows like on TV, like Unsolved Mysteries or In Search Of, and I was always fascinated by the unexplained. You know, it's just always... It always kind of fascinated me. I can remember as a kid, like my father we'd go on road trips and he would take me. My father was a big fan of history, as am I, and he would take me to places like Mount Vernon, Washington's home, or the Hermitage in Tennessee, where Andrew Jackson, 7th President of the United States, called his home, or Gettysburg Battlefield, stuff like that. And I can remember being probably as young as like 8 or 9 years old and feeling like a sensation in my body that I wouldn't really, at the time, I wouldn't have related to the paranormal, which I do now. But my first like real, I don't know, I could say when I was 16, I used to deliver pizza. Mm-hmm. And there was this old mill complex in Georgiaville, which is in Smithfield, Rhode Island. And the old Georgeville mills. It was like three or four old building, old textile mill buildings, and they were set up in condos. They're all over Rhode Island. They're beautiful. Mm-hmm. But I would deliver the whole complex. I would deliver to. I didn't have a problem in any of these buildings. I walk in, I deliver the pizza, I'd interact or the food, I'd interact with the customer, and I'd leave. This one building, I walk in, every time I walked in there, I felt like I had to just run to whatever apartment I was going to and run the hell out of there as quickly as I could. Because it was just that overwhelming urge where you're being watched. At certain points, I thought I saw like figures in my peripheral. So I never liked going to that building. Then like when friends of mine, I had friends in high school that had similar interests, we started doing what's called like legend tripping, where we go out to certain locations around Rhode Island hoping to have an interaction. Never really had any interactions, but saw some pretty cool places like the Mercy Brown, the Lad School, what have you. There's a whole bunch in Rhode Island that we used to go out to. Never had experience there. So I was always like, from there, from that point, I kind of gained a little bit more skepticism on it. I wasn't sure where I stood. I mean, I always like thought it'd be possible, but I wasn't ever sure until I started working at human services and healthcare for 20 years now. This is going back to 2008. I had just gotten married, and I was working in this group home in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. It was a home that was built in about 1920, and it was probably about five bedrooms. There were five boys at the time that were living there. There would be between the ages of about five or six and 12 mm-hmm. years old. And I took the overnight position because that was the only I was working there per diem at the other. So I was working at other houses, but I wanted full time because I wanted to. I was just getting married, and I wanted health insurance for my wife. Mm-hmm. So I took the only full-time business. I'm like, oh, this would be great. I'm like, I'm doing school. I can do my schoolwork at night. I can get a lot of stuff done. It'd be awesome. It wasn't awesome at all. But not the paranormal side, but, you know, what you do to yourself just being up those kind of hours. But anyway, people would tell me ghost stories all the time. Oh, do you ever experience anything? This is what we experienced, like toy boxes, toys going off in like the basement. The TV would go on. People would see apparitions. They tell me all this. I'm like, don't tell me this. I don't want to hear any of this. This is like, I would excuse it, and I would get really skeptical on it all. And I'd say it was nonsense. I'm like, it's not real. It's just, you know, you're making it up in your own head. At that point, I was a complete skeptic. I didn't want to hear anything about ghosts at all. But after working there for about 3 months, I started getting those feelings again. Those like, it's like almost like a pressure that starts like about mid chest, and then you can feel it. I can feel it usually the top of my neck, into my back. It's just I don't know how else to describe it as just like a pressure.
Yeah,
I feel that. I feel like. Like overwhelmingly, like I was being watched. Mm-hmm. I was setting up. I set up in it was a kitchen dining room combination, and it had three bedrooms off of it. Each bedroom had a couple boys in each, and then it had a double, old style double power living room with a bedroom at the bottom of the stairs, and then up you go up the stairs, and it was the offices upstairs that were above the room that I was sitting in. In this kitchen, and then they had a downstairs, which was a playroom. Certain nights, the down in the playroom, everything's off. I do my rounds when I first took over the shift, you know, so I walk through the whole house. I make sure everything's locked, secured, windows, doors. Boys had alarms on their beds. I made sure everything was set up before the shift left, and TV would go on, mm-hmm. like 2 o'clock in the morning. Loud as that TV could be. The TV would pop on. So mm-hmm. I go down there, feel really uncomfortable, turn the TV off, really uncomfortable, and almost run back up the stairs. Then it started where I was hearing, like, footsteps going up the stairs above my head. Mm-hmm. And I'd sit there and I'd listen to them. I'd be posted outside a bedroom. I'd be sitting there listening to them, and I'm like, that's got to be the kid in the front bedroom. So I'd grab the flashlight, I'd run into the living room, I go and I look in his bed. I look up the stairs. I look in his bedroom, which is like right next to it. Mm-hmm. And the kid would be in his bed and he'd be sleeping. I sit there and I look up the stairs. I go up the stairs. There were three offices up the top of those stairs, mm-hmm. up top of maybe like 10, 12 stairs, wooden. Open all three. All three were locked. There was nobody in either, any of those offices. Locked all the doors back up. And that sudden feeling just overcame me. You know, it was just that, like, oh my God, this is like, what is this? What?
Did you recognize that feeling when you had it again as that same feeling you had?
No. I didn't remember. I did remember, but I mean, I didn't relate it at
sure.
the time.
Okay.
Until like later on, until more recently.
Okay.
But so I go down the stairs, and then it was one night I had just come home from my honeymoon. It was August. It was August of 2008. It was probably August 29th. I think the date was exactly. It was a Monday going into a Tuesday. I had worked the Sunday night before, no problems. No, not even an inkling, not even like nothing weird happened. I walked in and I had to sit in this kitchen living room. I do the meds, I do for the next day, I do the laundry, I do the dishes and stuff, put the dishes away, set up for the morning. But excuse me, there was this one bedroom that was right next to the bathroom in this living room, dining room kitchen area. And I had this post at that door because there were three boys in that bedroom and one of the boys had sexualized issues. So they had to be monitored all the time. Mm-hmm. They had alarms on their bed. So anytime a kid even sat up out of bed, the alarm would go off. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to go in there and, you know, undo the alarm, make sure everything was okay, and reset the alarm. It wasn't that loud, but I mean, it was like, doo-doo, doo-doo.
Sure.
So it was loud enough to hear it. So that night I go in, I went in for 10. It was a 10 to 6 shift. About 11:30, I couldn't tell you why to this day, but I started crying, sobbing, emotionally, like a wreck for like 15 minutes. I couldn't tell you why to this day. And I couldn't explain it then. I'm like, all right. And I cleared myself up. I'm trying to like write it off as like, maybe like, you know, you're upset about your great aunt and uncle who just like, why would I cry about that? But like, I don't know. So I couldn't explain it. Later on that night, it was about 4:25 in the morning. I was putting some dishes away and from the dishwasher, and I heard the bed alarm going off behind me. And I turned around and I looked into the room and I saw a figure coming out at me. And I thought it was this kid, Russ, was about that height. It was about 5'6". I'm about 6'4". So shorter than me, about 5'6". I saw the full silhouette, the shoulders, the head, arms swaying, moving, walking right out of that bedroom, walked right in front of me. And then like made like a 90 degree turn and like went into the living room and completely disappeared. I grabbed onto that countertop for dear life, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been so scared in my entire life as I was that night right there.
I
didn't move for about 30 minutes.
What is going through your mind when you see something like that? I mean, how are you processing that in that moment?
Honestly, initially it was shock. It was like, I didn't know what I had just seen, but then I sat there and I'm like, I saw a person just walk right out of this bedroom, walk in front of me, and disappear right in front of my eyes. Wow. So in that moment, I'm like, okay, everything that these people have been telling you is probably true, mm-hmm. or maybe even a little exaggerated, but yeah, probably most of it is true.
Did you, prior to that, did you believe in the paranormal, that this stuff does exist? Like a lot of stories, are probably bullshit, but
right.
that it exists. What was
I
your...
thought it was a nice idea, you know,
okay.
like,
yeah.
I thought it was like, oh, that'd be nice. It would be a connection for like every world religion that there's an afterlife. That, mm-hmm. And here you go right here. So I was just like, I was flawed. And then, from August 29th to about mid-November, it was every single night that I went in there and I worked, there was something that was happening. And it was, honestly, at first, it was frightful because I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to expect. I was, I had my shirt tugged on. I was touched. I walked through cold spots. I heard those phantom footsteps at least 3 or 4 times. TV was almost every night. a toy would go off in the middle of the kid's room. Kids would wake up saying that they saw a man standing above them, touching them. So then I felt uncomfortable, and I'm like, I told my wife, I'm like, I gotta see if this, I gotta meet with this woman and see if there's a way I can get out of third shift there. Maybe I can get another, go back to first, or, you know, I could go per diem again, whatever. I'll see what I, and she's like, oh, you can't go per diem. You gotta stay full time. All right, I need the benefits. So I'm like, all right, let me, so I met with a clinician. She's a clinician. So she's a licensed, independently licensed therapist, mm-hmm. which is about as high as you can go for a therapist here in Rhode Island, other than being a doctor. And I sit down with her, and I'm like, hey, Carrie, I need to apply for a different position to see if I can get off a third shift. Is there something else open in one of the other houses? Or it's like, is everything all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm just not feeling it, you know? I tried to, like, play it off at first, like, she's like, there's nothing available. There's nothing open. She's like, there's something I can do. And I just stopped and I took a deep breath and I looked at her. I'm like, you're going to think I'm nuts. And I feel nuts talking and telling you this, and I told her what happened. And she's like, oh yeah. She's like, don't feel crazy. She's like, it's happened to me. She's like, I won't come in this house alone ever because of what happened to me. And I guess she had, she was bending over to pick something up off the floor, and someone whistled at her and said, hey, baby. Okay. And there was nobody in the house, and she ran out.
Yeah.
But she's like, everybody has experiences here. And she directed me towards another overnight that worked, this woman by the name of Lillian, who had thousands and thousands of experiences and worked there for about 10 to 15 years. So I went and talked to Lillian, and she told me it's a woman. She thinks the woman lived there. She had seen her going up the stairs, and when she was holding onto a rail, the rail of stairs is different than it was then. The rail was, like, lower, and she's like, she's holding onto the rail lower. Sometimes she has a cat. I would wear shorts. It would feel like there were flies, like, or mosquitoes, like swimming between, flying between my legs at times.
Yeah.
You know, that sensation, and there was nothing there. So it was just like, okay, all this is starting to make a little bit more sense. She's like, you gotta talk to them. I'm like, what do you mean I gotta talk to them? She's like, in my head? She's like, well, in your head, you can say it out loud, but if they're bothering you, tell them, hey, you're bothering me, leave me alone. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. I'm like, that's not real. She's like, it is. It's completely real. So being the fan of history that I am, I went to the Woonsocket town city hall.
Yeah.
And I looked into the history of the place, and the history had four owners. The owners that owned it then was Tanner Hill, and it's now Devereaux, which is another group home agency. Mm-hmm. And before that, it was a couple that had a lot of potties there. They had a bar in the basement that they had to rip out when they bought the place. And they were still alive because I knew a woman that I worked with was friends with them. Mm-hmm. The couple before that had three boys. All three boys were living and well and in their 50s, and their parents were both alive in their 90s, but both living in a nursing home up in Cumberland. And the couple before that built the house in 1926. They were immigrants from Italy. They were the Piranunzis were their names. I can't remember their first names. They owned the house up until 1939, right at the end of the Depression. They foreclosed on their mortgage. They couldn't pay their mortgage. Something happened. I guess he fell out of work. He was a carpenter. Mm-hmm. And they lost the house. And they both of them died within like 2 years of that. And I went to their gravesite and, you know, just said a little prayer and said hello. Mm-hmm. And I went back to the house that night, and I went into work, and I waited till about, it was probably like 2:33 a.m. I made sure everybody was sleeping. I shut all the boys' doors. I shut the door to the living room. I was standing in the middle of that living room. I'm like, Mr. and Mrs. Piranunzi, I know this is your house. I know you love your house. Your house is beautiful. It was all this old original woodwork. It's just like the double polos were like impressive. And I'm like, I'll do my best to take care of it, but I'm not here for you. I'm here for the safety of these boys. And I'm here to take care of them and make sure they have a good night. So please, I don't want to see you. Please leave me alone. And that's it. And then I went about the rest of my night. And I went in there again, and the next night, and nothing happened. And nothing happened for the next, like, 6 months that I worked there. And then I ended up taking another job on during the daytime at another facility. And but that thwarted me into the world. I'm an investigator now,
yeah,
because of what happened that night, you know?
That's so interesting. And it's a concept where the first time you hear this, well, just talk to them. Just reason with them. It sounds absurd. It's like, because in your mind, you're like, well, don't you need like to do this or that? Or, you know, well, you have this whole thing in your head of what you would need to do. But just sit down like, look, here's the deal. We can live at peace, but, you know, respectfully, you know, respect me. I'll respect you. It's exactly what you did. And that's sometimes some of the most effective ways of dealing with these things. Did you find it absurd at first? And then when you did it, how shocked were you that it worked?
Tony, I like I said, I've worked in mental health and human services for 20 years. I work in mental health now.
Yeah.
It sounds nuts. It still sounds nuts.
Yeah.
When I tell people to do it now, they think it's nuts.
Yeah.
But then it does. It works for almost everybody. You know, yeah. It's just it's some are a little bit, some need to add a little bit more or remind them a few more times that, hey, stop. I don't want to say it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It definitely sounds crazy at first, but I think it's what definitely worked.
Sure.
And you got to remember you're talking to people. So you just
give
them that respect, and I guess that's all it takes.
Sure. Know? This is interesting. I mean, and I want to hear more about investigations and such and some more experiences that you've had. But with you working in mental health, that's a topic that comes up quite a bit on my shows. And, you know, obviously that's a very real thing. There's many, many conditions that can cause one to think something or experience something. And it's all related to the brain.
Right, and it all could be very real for the person that's having that experience. But
exactly.
In fact, it's not.
Yeah. Let me ask you this with your experience and all these years in the world of mental health. What can you speak to of individuals who are presenting with something that's going on? I view this in many different ways with the thousands of stories that we get. Many stories where it's like, okay, I think this is just straight up paranormal and, you know, it's not a mental health thing. But there's many where there's a combination going on. There's a mental health issue, but then on top of that, there's something else that is really darker, but the individual is getting dismissed all the time and just written off as, oh, it's this disorder, it's that disorder.
Right.
And they can't ever quite get out of the grips of whatever the hell that other thing is. In your opinion, is how often have you seen that sort of thing, and what have your experiences been?
Yeah, I've been contacted by people, and we've gone and met with them at a Dunkin' Donuts, and they were definitely not well. They told me about, I mean, they had all the conspiracy, like the frogmen and the FBI is working with the aliens to control the population through drugs and prostitution. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then he's like, I got some evidence for you. I got all these hours of video and audio. And of course there's nothing there. And I'm looking at watching the video. I'm like, okay, I'm looking at like a driveway with a garage out of a window.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, do you see it? I'm like, what am I seeing here? And what am I looking at? I'm seeing this driveway. He's like, you don't see that? You don't see the man like disemboweling the other man? He's like, that's what I see all the time. Turns out, yeah, he did a stay at a place that I work at now, State Hospital in Massachusetts. And honestly, with, to speak on mental health and the paranormal, how to discern between the two of them, it's because, like, you know, people with schizophrenia do experience hallucinations, and they see stuff that's not real and they hear stuff that's not real. I have a patient now who believes that he gets command hallucinations from, not hallucination, he gets commands from the Lord himself, and he'll just, and that being, he'll come out of his room and run at another patient and assault them viciously.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little old man. He's probably in his 50s. He probably weighs like 150 pounds soaking wet. He does a whole exercise routine in his room, and he sings like gospel songs in the early morning to the other, as loud as can be. he's mentally ill. He has schizophrenia.
Sure.
The difference between the way that you can tell, the way that I can tell, though, or maybe not tell, but I mean, one of my go-tos for the difference, somebody with a mental health disease is going to experience something like that all the time. It's going to be their reality. Whereas someone that is experiencing something paranormal, it's not all the time. Sometimes it's months. Sometimes it's years between activity. Sometimes it's days. Sometimes it's multiple things in a day. But it's never like the reality of life. That life is going on, and like the paranormal kind of dips its head in every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference for me.
Okay.
As an investigator, I have Ocean State Paranormal as my organization, and one of my team members is a licensed therapist, and she has her own practice in Warwick, Rhode Island, called Greenwood Psychotherapy and Wellness Center. So that's really good to have somebody on the team that's licensed and knows this stuff, as well as my own experience in the field.
Sure. And that's got to be an interesting thing of you know, being someone in that field, because that's something that I think most would be very, very hesitant to bring up. What have your experiences been? And maybe you can speak to some of what your colleagues' experiences have been when, you know, someone, you know, does speak out or comes to you and expresses, you know, there's something paranormal going on here. And you know, but maybe there's some other things going on with the individual too, but there is truly something paranormal. Isn't the normal reaction going to be fear that, oh, if I say this to a medical professional, I'm going to get locked away or something of that nature? How does one, you know, actually, how is that handled in a medical setting if someone is saying something like that?
I've had, like I said, I have the patient now who gets his commands from the Lord.
Yeah.
I've had other patients throughout the years that tell me that, like, they are the soldier in a war between the Lord and, mm-hmm. and the devil, and it's happening, like, inside their body. Mm-hmm. I had people tell me that they are, like, reincarnated, or they're actual saints or actual holy people throughout the years. Hyper-religious is yeah. huge with mental illness, like schizophrenics.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that piece. I just kind of like, okay, I'll listen to them. Mm-hmm. Like, so I used to have this guy who was, he believed he was working for the Palestinians to like assassinate the Israelis, but then he was a double agent for the Israelis doing the same thing to the Palestinians. And he could spin it, like, listen to him talk.
Yeah.
Like an hour. It's like, oh my God, this is the way this man sees the world. That's insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I just try and hear them. I just try and listen. And I try and guide them. Like people that are like clearly symptomatic, clearly having mm-hmm. mental health issues. I don't think it's the same as the paranormal. Like,
yeah,
I have where I work. I've had experiences. I don't tell a lot of people.
Yeah,
because it's where I work. But other people have told me their experiences. Not in the building that I work in. The building next to me, there's people have seen a black mist going up and down the hallways. In other buildings, people have seen a man walking out of one room and walking into another. And they're locked. They locked cells, so that wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I've heard my own name like whispered in my ear, and it was like dead calm. It was the morning; they were all locked in. Nobody else was. Third shift was kind of like getting their stuff together. I was just kind of standing. It was quiet, which is not often quiet there, and just kind of taking it in. I heard "buddy" right in my ear, and you know that kind of, that kind of stuff, I don't tell a lot of people that I work with. I just kind of keep it to myself unless sure. it comes up in conversation.
Have you ever suspected that someone, that a patient did have something, you know, attached to them that went beyond just the mental illness?
No, I don't. I do believe in science, and I do believe that most of these guys are where I'm at now and where I've been over the years. I work with a very acute population that are there because they are awaiting trial. Mm-hmm. They're waiting to prove that they're competent to stand trial. Sure. So they, a lot of them have, like, some of them have done atrocious things, but some of them, a lot of them are just like in the system and just like, you know, they go through and they do well and they get medicated and they're awesome and they're in great shape. And then they go on to better things and then they stop taking their meds and they cycle back through again. It's depressing to watch, but I don't think it's, I think they're all severely mentally ill.
Let me ask you this, in an environment like that, where there's a lot of negativity there and a lot of sadness and a lot of just all of that kind of balled up. Does that create an environment where paranormal activity will occur? Not because it's attached to somebody, but just because it's just kind of this condensed area, this battery of all this energy, you know, from someone who's mentally ill, from someone who's committed crimes and this and that, all there. What's your thoughts on that?
I couldn't necessarily speak where I'm at. I mean, like I said, there's been a few like incidents. I've had another experience in another building. I know people that have experiences there. I don't know. There is a lot of negativity there. It's just, it's not a pleasant place to be some of the time. There are some severely mentally ill patients. They have some really, it's like some of the symptoms, it's like a nightmare some days. I mean, it's good. So other days it's good. Other days you feel good about yourself when you leave. But some days I've seen men like do the worst things I couldn't imagine before I started working there. And people I talk to, they're like, oh my God, how could you stomach that? It's like, you got to do it. You know, you just got to put your head down and somebody's got to work with these people. And I'm back in school to be a nurse. I'm going to school to be a nurse to do mental health. But anyway, shit, I'm sorry. What was the original question? I went off on a tangent.
No,
negativity there, right?
Yeah,
so not there. There is activity, but I don't think it's centered around the activity there. However, there's a place in Rhode Island, or it used to be in Rhode Island. They tore it all down. It's called the Ladd School. It's in Exeter. It's part of it is they use the old gym for like the Job Corps, and the other side of it is like a fire academy. But it's all open land now. But it used to be. It was opened as the home for the feeble-minded in 1913, and by Dr. Joseph Ladd, and then it became known as the Ladd School in the 20s, and he got excused in the 40s. There was a lot of abuse cases there, and a lot of malnutrition and mal-health care, and there was kids would go disappearing and then their bodies would end up in the woods. There's no investigations done. It's such an awful history. They finally closed the place down in the mid 80s. And for years after that, people would have experiences there. So as kids, that's one of the places we went legend tripping. You weren't supposed to go there, but
is this the,
trails through the woods.
Is this the Cropsey place?
This isn't, no, it's, I don't know. I'm sorry. Is it what?
There was a documentary in a place. Sounds very, very similar.
It might be.
Okay. Called Cropsey. Was this a place that Geraldo did an investigation on?
No, I don't think so. It closed for good in 93, but they were ordered to close in 85.
Okay.
I don't think there was any, I don't think there was any document. There was one, like, low budget documentary done a few years back, but it was just like on YouTube. It was called the Ladd School, LADD.
Okay.
And to this day, I mean, I went before they tore the last buildings down. A good friend of mine was able to get myself and another investigator in a few of the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some incredible EVPs in like 3 20-minute sessions. It was unbelievable. But they tore it all down. But to this day, like, I get it when I'm driving, like, the grounds are like a good quarter mile off the main road. And I drive up and down the main road. Every now and again, I'll go to a different brewery down that way. Or next door is the Veterans Cemetery where my grandparents are buried. Mm-hmm. So I go there. And when my wife was still alive a few years ago, we drove in there. And she was kind of she had some abilities. She didn't, like, advertise or do anything with them. She just kind of had experiences. And she wanted to punch me in the, she was a a loving woman. She was wasn't negative at all. And she just couldn't. She's like, I got an urge. I just want to punch you in the face. Get us out of here. Wow. Now every time I go by there, I just get this like those feeling. That feeling overcomes me, and I get this like extraordinarily like stay the hell away from that place feeling. I do want to do a documentary myself there this year. I'm trying to get something together, but it's just, it has that feel. Where Bridgewater does, where I work now, doesn't. But that place, just the land, it's just, you could walk across this empty field. It's just got a nasty, nasty feeling about the place.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that location has such a negative energy to it?
I think all there was atrocities. They one guy that was there, that he was like 19 years old, he beat up a severely developmentally disabled 11-year-old boy and stuffed him in a laundry bag and tossed his dead body in the shower. You know, just shit like that that would happen. Another, like one of the kids that went missing, this Gary Heyman. He was going from the schoolroom. They lined up in line at the schoolroom. They were transitioned from the school building across the premises to where they lived. This kid went missing somewhere in transition. Mm-hmm. They did what they normally do. They closed down the school. They sounded the alarms. They went out and panned. They searched around the area. Nobody could find him. The National Guard got involved. The Rhode Island State Police got involved. They were panning that whole area around Exeter for about 2 or 3 months. At night, this kid's mother was going through the woods with a megaphone, screaming, "Gary, Gary!" It leaves me with like awful thoughts. This is 1956, I think, or 58.
Mm-hmm.
And months go by, and then in like the winter time, this kid is like going through the last school is surrounded by like three rivers, so it's like a swampy, marshy area around it. And this kid is going through like the edge of a cedar swamp, and he sees in a tree, hanging from a tree, a skull, calls the cops. Cops come down, they cut down the skull, and it ends up being the kid's skull. And then they close the case. There's nothing else that comes from it. They just, it's like, all right, case solved. We found his body. That's it.
Like, but why is there a skull in the tree?
That's fucking crazy. Yeah. You would think that, oh my God, this is how would this skull get there?
Yes.
Who put it there? You know, the ball was totally dropped. A few years later, same thing happened. A kid ends up disappearing. Big search. They didn't find anything for that one. So that was like stuff like that, stuff mm-hmm. like awful things like that. There was they would take them out. They would take out these their patients who were like severely like intellectually or developmentally or physically challenged. They'd line them up outside. They get the fire hose out and they would spray these people down with a fire hose. It's atrocities every day that would happen at this place. That I think the energy just created such a negativity that's mm-hmm. still in the ground. It's still there because it's all energy. It's all that's what I believe. I think it's all energy.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Buddy. In part two, what does Buddy think the land where the lad's school once stood has so much energy? Why does it have so much energy and so much negative energy attached to it? What happened to the missing children on the ground of this disturbing institution? Can land that has been stained with such negative energy ever be cleansed? And is there a shelf life on the paranormal? We'll answer those questions and more in part two. To hear it, become a Gravekeeper. That's a supporter of our show. Sign up to be one. Patreon.com/TheGraveTalks or go to TheGraveTalks.com and click Become a Gravekeeper. There you'll get access to hundreds of our episodes, every single one of them in their entirety, commercial free. And you get access to literally hundreds and hundreds of interviews to binge away on. Check it out, patreon.com/thegravetalks, or go to thegravetalks.com and click Become a Gravekeeper. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready.
Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap. Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here,
right now. It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.